To Double Crossed Radio. We are live in the BLM occupied Southern Oregon region, the front line of the fight against the globalists and their efforts to implement Agenda 21. I'm your host, Drew Lamb, and I am joined tonight by my co-host, Chuck Horton,
Hey,
and
Drew.
our very good friend, David Everest, aka Miner Dave, who is the secretary of the Twin Cedar Mining District. And tonight we are going to talk about Miner Dave's case against the feds regarding his gold mine. And we'll be talking about the situation that's brewing in Galice, Oregon at the Sugar Pine Mine. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Dave, thanks for tuning in with us again.
Yes, good evening, everybody. And I would like to say this before I get started. I stand on the shoulders of great men that came before me as either our founders or our ancestors. And we need to pay homage and remember them, but they gave us the tools to do what we need to keep and save the Republic and to overturn our government peacefully without bloodshed the time we live in. Now, it could get worse where that's going to be not possible, and time is slipping away. So I would say anybody that's got any way, they should at least become familiar with what property is and whether they are considered property or are they the owners of property. Because, see, I believe the government is going to claim every citizen as property, and when they do that, you'll be nothing more than a slave. And I say, no way. I say no. So there we go. That's my monologue for tonight.
Oh, we have a lot more in store for you tonight, Dave.
I know. I was just making it short for as we stand today in a time of history. The Chinese have a famous saying, "May you live in interesting times." And that's when we have all the troubles, is when we're in interesting times. So the Chinese always wish us interesting times. Well, they're getting ready to go through interesting times. And another night, we should talk about the collapse of China because it's about ready to do it. It's going to fold like a wetsuit. But that's for another topic for another night.
So, Dave, can you give us an update on your case?
Yes.
Sounds like things have been moving along with it.
Yeah.
Give us a brief review of your case and
Right
what has
now.
got us here. I was just thinking about this the other night. I was on YouTube and I was searching around. Actually, I think I was looking for a Jordan Page song, and your YouTube playlist came up, and then I found that video of you. I don't know who did that. Maybe Kirby Jackson did it,
Kirk
called
Jackson filmed him. Yeah.
the illegal arrest of Miner David Everest. And and if you want to try to wrap your mind around what's going on at the Sugar Pine Mine, it helps to
I lived in
understand
since
what's it's
2012.
yeah it's important to understand what happened to David Everest up at his mine.
And
And
what's coming for these miners if they don't get public opinion on their side? And the problem is your radio program lets us get into detail, but like Lars Larson, he is, when it comes to this kind of thing, a dummy, because he thinks you have to have a license.
let's don't get into Lars and his show and
Yes.
everything. We're not going
Yeah.
to have any
We're at a much
commercials.
higher level than Lars
Well,
Larson's. Yeah.
we're not going to have any
I just
commercial
wanted to
breaks for
thank
sure.
you. I wanted to get one dig in.
All right. Well, you were on his show today, so
Yes.
okay.
But
Well,
anyways,
so what?
where I'm at right now is last week I informed through with Chuck when you were gone. Sorry about your grandfather. I know
Oh,
how that
thanks.
goes.
I appreciate that.
Where we I was my case was at the cert court. I have a case number, and I did a Freedom of Information Act. I talked to them on Monday, and they're gathering the reports up and they're going to mail them to me. I'll be going to my post office tomorrow to check on it to see if anything's come in. And if nothing has, I'll call and do a follow-up.
So your situation Oh, wasn't with you, you didn't have a disagreement with BLM. You had a disagreement
Mine
with the
was with
U.S. Forest
Forest Service.
Service. Right,
See,
right. It's a little.
remember, see what they do here is they take turns of being the bully. Right now, the Forest Service is muted. They're agreeing to coordinate with us through the county attorney, the county commissioners, with the miners.
So you received a cease and desist order
I
at,
received a cease and desist order from the ranger.
and so they wanted you to cease and desist mining operations. They said that you were occupying and other things too.
Without a plan of
Without a
operations,
plan of operations
which they misinterpreted the law because the law clearly states that's for oil, gas, and coal and common rock. It is not for the valuable mineral deposits and materials grant. Now, they got me for cutting down a tree that was a danger tree. I'd noticed him plenty enough times. They never noticed. They never answered. I sent them default notices. But rather than dig back all the way back into the case, I wanted to update where we're at on the case now. As of I found, see, I've been up all night. My attorney didn't tell me this was filed on the 8th. I just happened to find it when I looked it up last night on the net, and it was posted. I shared it on Facebook on Roaring Bear and LinkedIn. But what I have there is the government filled out a waiver that they're not going to respond to my petition to the Supreme Court. So what this means is they're confessing and agreeing with me that I should get cert. Now they're doing it in a left-handed way rather than coming out and directly saying that, because see, when you're filing a petition in front of their, my attorney did a complete brief. They have to answer to the brief. And because he had no response that, you see, in the Supreme Court, he really can't give specious arguments because of the precedents by the prior Supreme Court rulings. And so when we get in there, he couldn't answer it with a specious argument or, in the way we'd say it in English, a lying argument, untrue, false, in a fraud, in a constructive fraud, in breach of their fiduciary trust. Remember, a defense lawyer has a duty only to you, but a prosecutor not only has a duty to prosecute the guilty, he has a duty to release the innocent. And that's a fiduciary duty. They can actually, there was a, when they prosecuted those guys over there at that college, that guy ended up being prosecuted. He went to prison. So it does happen. So I was talking to Hal today after I got off Lars Larson, and he told me I should write a petition letter to the Supreme Court. And this is what he told me to put in there. Now, he said I could do it through my lawyer or I could do it. But this would be a petition letter addressed to the United States Supreme Court. Now, up in the upper right-hand corner will be my name and my address and phone number. And over in, I mean, in the right-hand corner and left-hand corner would be my name, address, and phone number. And the other one would be my case number. And then I would mail this to the court as a letter. And this is the letter I would write. To the United States Supreme Court, the United States is the respondent. The waiver is a confession and an agreement for the need for cert. And my remedy is it is my, excuse me, cert and relief in my case. So then I got the bright idea for you, Drew, to type all that up. Put it up on your Facebook page and ask people to sign it because it's a petition letter and anybody can sign it as a petition letter. And they have a right to serve it in my case as a measure of support.
So explain to us what is cert.
Cert is where they grant you to hear your case. When you file a petition, they take the petition in, they assign by random a law clerk to review everything for the Supreme Court, Cert Court, which is run by the Chief Justice Roberts. And Alito withdrew from the Cert Court. I don't know who the other judges are, but there's got to be at least four. There's usually five. You got to get four to get cert. But this would be asserting my rights on my appeal. I'm asserting my rights under this, that because what I'm doing is when you petition the Supreme Court, it's really a civil case, even if it's a criminal case, because you're in the Supreme Court. And while you're in the Supreme Court, they only take so many cases. And so they get about 8,000 cases a year. They hear 80 to 100 cases a year. And that's all. But these are like civil cases that have the impact of criminal law because they can rule on criminal and civil. And so, anyways, I'm arguing civil law against a criminal law that's invalid on its face. And so I'm now getting in front of a real court that wasn't an administrative court, an Article III court, by an Article III judge. The Ninth Circuit, they were Article IV judges. They say Judge Panner is used to be an Article IV judge, but he retired. And so he only hears a few cases a year. And in Medford, the rest of them are all magistrates, administrative court. For criminal matters, you're supposed to be charged with an Article III judge, and you're supposed to get you get in that court, you get a jury, but in an administrative court, you get nothing but a rubber stamp. And so, what I'm saying here is because their lack of response to my attorney's, well, my work, minor's work, my attorney's vetting it out with his paralegal and signing off on it, did all this work. It was a team effort to put it together. I got to thank everybody involved. I appreciate it much. But what we need to do is I need to assert my rights. And even though the Supreme Court is not supposed to, this is just a petition letter. And I don't know if it's cool to send this into the Supreme Court or not, but I want to assert my rights, and I want other people to understand when they help me assert my rights, they're asserting theirs. So when I assert my rights, I'm asserting theirs. So this is not just for me, it's for everybody. Everybody that has a mineral estate. And there's not that many agricultural lands here in the Rogue Valley. Most all of them were originally mineral estates. And
David,
if they're
it's not just for people of mineral estates, it's for everybody that owns anything,
Yes,
including the value of their labor. There's
including the valuable of your labor, because
if they can ignore law and take something that doesn't belong to them, they can take anything they want.
that's right. And that means you guys are a lot easier because most of you guys have got defective titles because you got warranty deeds. Back in the 50s, the Bar Association, as well as Howell's talked about, he might not have mentioned this, they committed a fraud back then because what they did was is they put your title, original title, in the county, then they destroyed it. And they gave you a warranty title with deed restrictions and covenances. And so every time they pass a property law, they're passing it as they are your partner, and you're supposed to pay the trustee to manage your estate. And they're the managers, you're not.
Wow. That's really frustrating. I think you're completely correct about that. That's something that you typically don't learn about in a real estate class.
Oh,
But
no, they don't teach that in real estate.
yeah. I know, I've taken a lot of them.
I've read a lot of
Yeah,
books
and
and have not.
it's I'd be just curious to know how these defective titles that you speak of in the United States, specifically in Oregon, how those would compare to titles to property
Yeah, outside the United States, let's say like in San Miguel de Allende, where former
Well, see,
guest James Guzman is from, or from Panama or Guatemala City, where
I don't
the
know.
our famous
I don't know how to
host.
explain their laws, but I know how to explain England's laws. I could tell you how it works in England.
Well, I just think people need to start. They need to start looking around and seeing if this is the place they want to live the rest of their life. It's becoming
Well, no,
less
you don't
and
understand.
less.
It'll be worse than everywhere else. This will be a soft
No.
tyranny. Everywhere else will be a hard tyranny. Everywhere else will be a hard tyranny. You, as an American, and you'll be identified as an American, you'll be picked right up and you'll be shipped back. It's not worth your, it's not, you might as well stay here and fight because you'll be in a fight down there. Only it'd be worse because down there you don't have a right to have a gun. At least, right for the time being, you still have a right to have a
Depends
gun.
on where you are.
Yeah. But I'm just saying is you may as well stay here and fight. Getting up and running isn't going to save you. It didn't save the Jews that tried to do that. They were shipped back.
A lot of
So
them got
that was
out.
the German. Well, yeah, but that's because they had money
Did
to
you know
buy.
that Ludwig von Mises, he was a Jew, and he
Yeah,
knew
I'm
that
just saying
Hitler was
is
after him because of
there were
the
so
things he
many
had
that
written
didn't
that were
get
de
them. They couldn't get
He kind of annihilated socialism in his book. It was written in German. And so he fled from Austria when Germans were at the border. He fled with just
got
a
out
few
and got.
belongings, and he left and fled to England and eventually to America. The Germans got in there and they ransacked his apartment and took all his stuff and burned all of his writings that was in there. So not
I'm
everything
just
that he had
saying
written up to
is
that date survived.
it would be
So
hard for
there are
Rodney
people who
Hoffman.
escaped, and they found havens of safety. And it's not if he'd have stayed and fought and died, the world would have suffered a great loss. We never would have had human action. We never would have had all the people he mentored, like Murray Rothbard and Hayek. They never would have joined us and helped us to preserve the ideas of liberty. So I don't necessarily agree with you. It's a personal decision. People should decide what's best for them. And if you want to stay and fight, I salute you. But I don't know that that's always the wisest
Well,
thing to
first
do.
off, you got to have money to leave the United States. I don't have any money.
He was
They've
broke.
taken everything that they've pretty much. I mean, I'm going to get a retirement here soon that they couldn't touch, that my pension comes in when I turn 55. But it's not enough to move anywhere. It's enough to make a big change in my life. I would get to do some things I've been wanting to do, and I get to push back a lot harder. Because I've been living off of scraps. My family helps me all they can.
I want to verify this. I mean, you people cannot imagine the level of poverty that Dave lives in, and he doesn't complain about it at all.
It's
And
not that
he
he's.
doesn't ask, he doesn't come around begging for money or anything like that. He's really somebody that sometimes I'll buy him a tank of gas or something, but that's just because I want him to be able to get someplace because it also benefits me. But and I don't say that as I'm cold-hearted. It's just, he's self-reliant. He's a proud man, and he's a good person. So it's, it's that's
Well,
what it
I'm
is.
not
And
exactly self-reliant.
this
I'm
pension, which is
self-reliant
due
because
to him,
my family
really changed
helps
his life.
me. Yeah, my pension is going to really change my life. Yeah, because I'm going to get to roll some of it over into annuity. I'm going to get to take a little cash out, and I'm going to roll the rest over in an IRA, and I'm going to create Twin Cedar mining and mineral, media production. And I'm going to try to create it as a C corp, but I may have burned a bridge today, so I might have to find somebody to help me figure out how to write all that up. I need somebody that can help me with that. If there's anybody out there that can help me with that.
Well, I think there might be somebody. We had a former guest who's really interested in forming a broadcast network here in this region, and I we'll make sure that you get in touch with him.
Okay, great.
Dave, when I was watching that video that Kirby Jackson did,
There's a few of them,
where
so.
well, the one where you were talking about your arrest,
Right, that's the
and
second one.
you were discussing how they arrested you and they burned your property.
That was property from what Marcus had built, but when the Forest Service scared him off and he left for a while, he ran away and didn't stand his ground. So I found out from the Forest Service that it wasn't on Marcus's claim. I found it was on adjacent property that connected with mine. So I filed on it, and they burn it down. I was trying to protect Marcus. I was trying to protect property that should pass to the next miner. They shouldn't be burning down this. It's they, you know, the Forest Service in the 70s burnt down all kinds of cabins. They burnt down whole towns. Because in 1900 had more people in what they call Brownstown than Medford had. It had 5,000 people out there. They were all working. Some had specialties because it was a mining camp. They had people that were loggers that cut firewood for everybody because, you know, this was rough living. And if you're going to be there in the wintertime, they had to get supplies in before they came. And so these were nothing more than mule trails then. They're roads now, but it's because the miners built them. And they don't have a right to take these roads away from us.
Did they burn up any of your other personal property?
Well, they burnt two trailers that Marcus acquired, but he left behind. They were on that claim. I claimed them as well, even though I would have scrapped them out.
So were they on wheels, or were they on a foundation, or what?
They were on wheels. And see, if
why would they do that? I don't understand. Why would they just come in and set stuff on fire?
Because when they tried to pull it out, they broke it in two, and they could no longer move it.
So they just lit it on fire.
They just where it was at, they lit it on fire.
Normal people can't do stuff like that. You just right. you know, I've been a landlord for decades. You know, doing property management work. You can't just it's hard to tow a vehicle off of your property that you don't own. But they just come in and pull stuff off and set things on fire.
Yeah, this was in 2008. Now, I've had an ongoing problem, but the guy I had the problem with is now retired. So the Forest Service may start working with me when this is all said and done. I'm not sure, but that's for a future date. But where I'm getting at here is the next step is in 2009. This is the sequence. In 2009, they came in in November, right? They filmed a bunch of stuff. They left. And then in December, the end of November or sometime, they gave us a date to go to Portland to be tried. And they were hoping we wouldn't make it there. When we got there, they were supposed to book us. They forgot to book us. That caused them a headache later. But because nobody told us, they just thrust us right out of the building. Because it was the 18th of December. That was their last day. They opened that court special for us so nobody else could be in the courtroom except all the defendants that were charged. There were seven of us. There was me and Lenny Ames and Jared Farner from the Applegate. And then there were some people that were out. I'm not sure exactly where their claims were. Three of them, one was found not guilty at the trial. Five of us were found guilty. And at the Ninth Circuit, they overturned two of us, and three of us, they left stand. But, and then because I was charged again, and this is where Kirby comes in and he films all this at the time of my arrest. And they didn't, I was talking, you know, I'm not angry with these people because I feel sorry for them because they were doing what was ordered. And when I win I believe I've never thought I wouldn't win in the end. I wouldn't, but even if I don't win, I get to do all this all over again. And only this time I'll change up. I'll try something different. I don't beat my head against the wall. I'll do it differently, and I know exactly what I'm going to do if I don't win the night of the Supreme Court thing. But I won't be able to do it for a year and a half until I'm off of bench probation, and at that point, then I get to start flooding the BLM with paperwork for a plan of a notice of intent of mining operations. And then I won't file one with the Forest Service because I found out I should have been, if I was, when I was ordered to file one, I should have filed it with the BLM, not the Forest Service, like they were trying to tell me that I wouldn't file one out because it says I'm not supposed to file one with them. If one's to be filed, it's with the BLM. They get to determine it, not the Forest Service. Now, if I had a coal claim or if I had an oil field, well, then the Forest Service would get to manage it and a plan of operations would be required because I would owe royalties to the government. But because the government gave up royalties and gave up taxing gold without, and you're giving it locally without any encumbrances, and that's why you get to have a mining district, because you can be have a private company that does the mining, and the jurisdiction is the guy that owns the claim can form a mining district, and that becomes a local government, and that's who they surrender the jurisdiction to, is the mining district. I'm the controlling legal authority. And I expect the Forest Service, I mean the United States Supreme Court, to say that. And then I'm going to demand a trustee to start issuing, doing validity tests and issuing patents. And they'll have to, then they'll have to execute the last measure of the grant, which is the final disposal. See, the land's been disposed in a trust, but to complete the trust and get it transferred into where you go from a possessory title to lodeal title as you're the jurisdiction, and there is no property tax on it. There is no tax on raw gold. If I was to smelt it and sell it for Federal Reserve notes, then there would be a tax on the Federal Reserve notes. But I could come up to you, and that's only if it's smelted. I could come up to you, and you could give me Federal Reserve notes for raw gold. There's no tax by the IRS rules. There's only tax once it's been smelted, then it becomes an investment, and then it becomes insurable. Well, it's in its raw form, it's just a yellow rock, tradable. As equal value for equal value, it's a trade, and trades are not taxed. Because if I trade whatever, say you had an acre, and you wanted to trade it for me, and I had whatever we agreed upon on, and I was to give you gold. Well, if you were to sell the gold, you would have to pay taxes. But if you used it to trade with, and it's in its raw form, you wouldn't. And that would be just a swap. We could do a 1031 exchange.
Oh, fascinating. I didn't know. I thought you could only do that with real estate.
Well, mining claims are real estate. Gold is real estate.
Right. So
So gold is kind of brings me to this something that's been kind of bubbling in my mind. We talked about it briefly before the show, but I think that was just before you came on. The recent activity at the Sugar Pine Mine, there's a mineral survey that's been done, or that's rumored is that there has one, and the miners are trying to, through a Freedom of Information Act, are trying to get that survey released because it should be public knowledge.
Right.
Why did the BLM, or why, in your opinion, do you think the BLM at first denied the existence of this survey?
I think they denied the survey because it would make force them to find a trustee and force them to go to Congress and ask Congress for a budget to start disposing of the land, the mineral estate. And because there's pent-up demand, because there's some people that have been waiting for years. Some of them actually had to sue and get a federal judge to order transfer. And they have happened. And lands have been being patented. They're just not advertised because the people that are patenting them are actually, there's guys like me that would go out and file a claim and could do this as a business for the bigger claims, because the bigger miners don't have time to go prospecting and get dry holes. They want They want a place that they can, you know, there's no way to tell how much gold is in the ground because you can't, there's nobody that can give a legal appraisal of a mineral estate because the courts have ruled it's incalculable on a placer claim because the gold could be over here and not over here, and it could be over here, not over there, but it could be here, it could be there. There's too many variables. And a hard rock, who knows how long the vein is, how microscopic the gold is, and you know, what they do is it comes out of the ground, they give a dollar value as it comes out of the ground. And there's one place I've heard of that back in 1933, it was $8 a yard. Well, back then, gold was only $32 an ounce. So that was what they called a living wage, and you could get patent for it.
Well, so this mineral survey, is this just an estimate, or is it something where they're using satellite technology to measure the density of the rocks, or what?
This will be an old one. This will be an old one where they actually either some they may have been core samples taken where they drilled the ground. You know, you can bring out you know, you can use an oil rig to drill for gold, but you're drilling for core samples. You're not drilling for gas or oil. And see where some of this technology in the future is. Where I think the future is going is 3D ground penetrating radar. But right now, I don't have the money to afford that until I get my C-Corp, and then I get to buy some of that stuff.
But could it be possible that maybe some of this modern technology, ground penetrating radar, has been used to discover that there are vast amounts of gold?
Well, I can tell you this,
in this region. And somebody has their eyes on it, but they know they can't have it because of these mining claims.
Well,
they're trying to get
something.
Rid of the miners so that they can come in and swoop in after the people forget about it in about a year.
It doesn't remember, take. They have the earthquake stuff out all over the forest, and I'm in one of the most places that's got fractures in the ground. There's all kinds of places around me. See, in 1870,
I've been to your claim. I saw at least two fractures just right there along the river.
Right, and I have many more. And those are where the minerals are at, because see, you find minerals where there is vulcanization. And on one side of the creek, on the side you drive in on my creek, that was the Jurassic period. On the other side, the peak up there, that's the Jurassic. And over around the corner on the other side where Marcus was taking you, that's the tertiary periods of times. That's just three fault lines that they've named. They have a name for them, meaning that the period of time. We have other fractures that they haven't really studied. And with ground penetrating radar, putting on a drone, not only could we, I could do a service, I could be looking for the minerals, but I could be gathering data on for knowledge for earthquakes, and that could just be a byproduct that would be provided just because you flew over it. You'd be able to measure differences, you know, as you did it, and this would be perfect technology. This is where I say drones shouldn't have bombs. They should have ground-penetrating radar because, see, you can also use them for archaeology.
There's a lot of uses that just have to use your imagination a little bit.
Because you don't have to go out and dig everything up until you know where you're going to decide to dig. That way, we can be a little bit more distinctively, instead of the way we got to do it now, is we have to wash rocks and sift them. Now, and so you get an average of what you're getting out, but as this technology comes along, we're going to be able to identify heavy mineralized soil, and where it's not, we don't have to work.
Yeah. Now, I'm kind of a conspiratorialist, as you know.
Yeah,
my mind's racing is that the BLM wouldn't be going to all this trouble unless somebody had a pile of money to make on this deal. And right. just like the Bundys down in Nevada, where they the BLM was trying to get them to drop their property rights that they had on this public lands that were outside the boundaries of their ranch, where they could graze. They had water rights. They had grazing water rights. They had rights to make improvements. And they wanted to give all that up because the Chinese wanted that for a big solar farm and who knows what else.
This thing, too, that you didn't realize. The Bundy Ranch is right next door. It's not on their property, but right next to them is a big magnesium mine.
They they brought that up. They had several,
so what they were trying to do is force him out of business so they could buy his ranch. And then right there, they would put a road right next to his ranch and they would make that corporate headquarters for the Chinese to come mine the magnesium, which is rocket fuel.
There's also a lot of borax in that area.
Borax is a
borax. I meant so borax.
Borax is a valuable mineral. You can file on that because it's soap, and it's a material that you can file on it, and it's patentable. And even common rocks under certain circumstances are patentable. Under certain circumstances.
So, but so there's no doubt that there's lots of things that maybe people could have sought in that area and wanted to exploit. And
that's the right.
And the Bundy standoff kind of put that on hold for a while, but I don't think that these people are going to give up at all. No. And I think that while they're just using that as maybe a test case, the same thing is happening up here to the miners at the sand.
Right. And the Bundy's water rights stem from the mining law.
Mm-hmm. The miners up here in Galice, they're being bullied and trying to get them to get off of their claim for the same reason that somebody else wants that property and they want the wealth that's underneath the surface.
Right, because see, these guys might be looking for gold, but they may have under minerals that are even as valuable or more valuable than gold. See,
or maybe if they're not as valuable, they might be there in greater abundance.
See, on my claim, I have gold, I have copper, I have silver, I have platinum, I have titanium, and there might be minerals I'm not aware of yet that haven't necessarily made it on the periodic table yet because they may be so valuable they don't want to list them yet.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, no, they've discovered lots more minerals. And I can tell you this, from my family's past, they're all you can't have a national defense without miners, because mining goes hand in hand. It always has. Now everybody thinks of gold as money, right? But now it's not money; it's a commodity. It's used in your computer. Oh, by the way, you think they can make drones without gold? Because they have to have them for their circuits, their guidance systems. And with all the electronics you're going to put on it, gold is no longer can be considered money. So it can no longer be considered confiscatable because it's no longer money. It's a commodity for the war effort. If they don't have gold, they can't make their guidance systems. And I know what I'm talking about because my uncle used to design the guidance systems for the Polaris missile system.
And fully 80% of the gold that comes out of the earth every year is purchased by the Chinese.
They're purchasing a lot, and the Russians are
80% is a lot, yeah.
They're mostly buying it from Russia because the United States, what's left of the gold they got, that is leased out. It can't be left until those leases are up. And so they can't ship anybody any gold. And if you're aware of this, the Chinese, three different times, the fourth time they caught on to it, they didn't get away with it. But three separate times, they bought 400 ton of gold from somebody here from Sachs. And when they finally drilled into it to check it out, it was full of tungsten. And that was confirmed by several different sources of mine. See, China it's going to collapse, and it's already begun. It's already begun. China is going to collapse, and they're going to economically destroy China. And this is how they're going to do it. This is my analysis. It's my opinion based on what I can figure out, what I know is public, and what I can say. And this is what I can say, is they've normalized relations with Vietnam. They're going to normalize relations with Cuba. Cuba is 90 miles off the coast of the United States. They need labor. Cuba has labor, cheap slave labor. The same in Vietnam. And under these agreements, they're going to move out of China and they're going to move there. And China is, they've already started the move. There's people actually found it cheaper to produce it here than in China by the time they have to pay all the bribes. And then because they've had several elite restaurants breach. I heard this from the John Batchelor show. This is a good show. You should listen to him on China. He gets good people. They're knowledgeable. And the same with Russians. John Batchelor, he reminds me of what a reporter used to be.
Let's jump back over to the Sugar Pine Mine before we run out of time.
Okay.
Before we get into that, I just want to give a shout out to our listeners in the chat tonight. Looks like we've got a new page layout for the chat. So I'm still getting used to it here. So I think I'm seeing everybody that's in the chat right now. I'd like to say hi to Dalnick, Jane MC, Joe Friday, Jules, Road Dog, Shellyak, and Vincent. Thanks for listening tonight, you guys. And also, I wanted to bring up the fact that our friend and former guest on the show, Tony Bones, was arrested on multiple warrants. She had outstanding warrants related to gardening in her front yard, and she'd been fighting with her city. She's in Independence, Missouri for quite some time now. And so these fines were adding up, and she, of course, wasn't paying them. And
it's a rather ironic name for that town.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, this came out on her page. It's been hard for me to figure out if this was legit. Somebody was posting to her wall. So somebody had access to her Facebook page, and they were claiming that they were a friend of hers and that they were in her office. But as far as I know, Tony doesn't have an office, and she doesn't always have an internet connection or even a computer. A lot of times she's on her phone.
I think she has a computer, but not, she couldn't afford the internet connection.
Yeah. So I don't know. Things looked kind of suspicious to me. And so I've been trying to investigate this to find out if she's actually in jail. And, you know, unfortunately in Independence, Missouri, you can't, they don't have a page where you could log on and type in an inmate's name to see if they're in there and what the charges are and all that kind of stuff. And so there's just some sketchy details that people had posted. It looks like they've raised $1,610. They've posted that much in bail, and they need another $875. And if you go to her Facebook page, Tony Bones, that's Tony with an I, B-O-N-E-S, there's some links on there. Somebody set up a page where you could donate funds. I noticed that Jordan Page shared that over to his wall. He's also friends with Tony. And so you go over to youcaring.com, help Tony Bones bond out of jail. And you could fund there. Somebody also has a link for Bitcoin donations. If you've got any spare Bitcoin kicking around, might as well donate it to this cause before that Bitcoin is worthless. You know, help get Tony out. And, you know, I guess we need to make some calls to see where she's at and get some more information. We don't want to lose track of Tony if she has been incarcerated. This whole thing is absolutely ridiculous, and it just stems around the fact that she was using old car tires as planters in her yard, and busybodies at the city had a problem with it. And so,
this isn't really any different than the situation we're seeing with the mine. There's a controlling authority that really doesn't have the authority to control this, and they're just making life impossible for the people that have to live under their tyranny.
Right.
So, anyways, guys, before I lose this, I finally got my web page straightened out. I somebody was trying to hack me, and so I had to fix that. So if people go to TwinCedarMiningDistrict.com, they'll have access to all my social sites through the links there, and then it's a portal to my YouTube videos. They can go there and watch. But back to I only know one of the owners, the co-owners of the Sugar Pine Mine. That's George. And if you go to the Medford Tribune paper, there was actually a pretty good article in their interview with George.
So that's George. His last name is Backus?
That's correct.
And then his partner is Barkley?
I may know him, but I know George personally. So I know a lot of miners, but I might not know him by their name. I might just know him by their face, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised to hear from so many people that were willing to take up arms up there, but they didn't even know the names of the owners.
My understanding is it's not really a standoff yet.
No, it's not. It's not a standoff. But I was communicating.
That's been blown up in the press.
Sure. And I've been communicating with Kirby Jackson to get some details. He's got bad phone and internet right now, so we couldn't get him on the show tonight. But I was trying to figure out what the big concern was. You know, why did the owners reach out to the Oath Keepers for security?
Because friends, the Oath Keepers, they go to Josephine County Commissioner meetings, and so do miners.
Sure, we're all pretty tight around here, and I know Joseph Rice. You know, and we've had Tom McKurgan on the show.
He's a good guy. He's not like some of them that are frauds.
Well, let's get back to what Kirby was telling me. This was really interesting, and this kind of comes back to what happened to you. And, you know, they thought when Deputy Stanton was up there, the owners actually thought that his intent was to burn down the cabin. And
yes, I believe that.
Right. So that's why we've got all this security. That's why everybody is so concerned about this. You know,
they've already destroyed, on another claim, George's trailers and all his work, and they took all his stuff. They flew it out with helicopter, and they took it apart by pieces, because now fire marshals for both the BLM and the Forest Service won't let them burn anything anymore.
But it would be really foolish for them now to do anything like that, because this has so much attention. All eyes are on this. Everybody's watching. I really don't think it's necessary for you know, if you're like one of those 3%ers, you know, Bob 3%, you probably don't need to be up there. If you're coordinating directly within Oath Keepers, if you're a member of Oath Keepers, and you know, you could go on the Josephine County Oath Keepers page, and you could apply through there, be vetted out to help.
I think what they need most of all is they need cash so they can buy supplies, some food, and propane tanks and things like that.
But I don't think you need to grab your AR and run up there. You're not even going to get near the mine. You're going to be camping out with a bunch of people, you know, that aren't going to be out there at the scene. And you know, there's really nothing going on from what I've heard.
Yeah, there's only 10 or 12 people out there, and they're swapping, changing. They don't want a bunch of people out there, because see, remember, this is primitive.
Well, you're talking about the terrain.
The terrain is primitive. The facilities might be limited, you know. Absolutely.
There's not a lot of area to camp out up there. And,
no, this is a hard rock. It's in the mountains.
Right.
There's water there.
Right.
But, you know, but you know, you have sanitation. You want to make sure you take care of.
Right.
You want to if you got one or two, you know, 10 or 12 guys, you can use buckets and bags, and you can either haul it out, or you can do like I do, you compost it.
Right.
Is a compost right down? It'll be gone in no time. But if you have what showed up at the Bunny Ranch, you'd have pandemonium because.
Well, yeah, it's not like you could bring a porta potty up there.
Well, you could, but you'd have to pre-plan all of it.
Yeah. You'd need a level site for it and a way to get it up there, and
yeah. And it's not cheap to rent porta potties anymore. It used to be, but it's not.
Or honey buckets, or whatever they call them these days.
Yeah, but you can. A lot of people, you can bag it up and haul it out, or you can compost it. There's a certain way you have to do it so it's remains sanitary. You have to. You actually have to do work like shovel, dig a hole, then build a mound. So that when you as you layer it, you're layering soil and organic material, so it'll help decompose it.
Right.
And then there's a lot of treatments you can put in there, like mycorrhizin, or the stuff you put in septic tanks. You can sprinkle that on.
So this is a good reason why they can't have a whole bunch of people up there on site. You know, plus you know this needs to be. Calm. It needs to be cool,
right?
You know,
led them to believe they were going to burn it down on them. The George didn't understand because I talked to BLM fire marshals and the Forest Service fire marshals to see if they were going to allow them to burn my stuff. They didn't allow them to burn them. They had to bring in trucks and cranes, and they hauled it out with, mm-hmm. with a low boy. Mm-hmm. And they use cranes to load it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's anything to be gained by having this declared a historic monument, because this is a mining site that was begun before Oregon was even a state.
Well, no, a monument.
If that was become a historic site, then maybe that would be worse than it is now. It'd come under another controlling authority yet or something. I don't know.
So, Dave, that reminds me. I wanted to ask you about this. So, a spokesman from the BLM on the news. I can't remember which channel it was. I caught it on a YouTube.
I didn't hear it.
He was talking about how since the mine has changed hands, they need a new operations plan and
does that mean
and surface rights don't exist. I'm just paraphrasing.
Wrong with that?
That doesn't sound right to me.
Well, do you every time you sell your house, a house is sold, do they need to go and apply for a new permit?
No, it's ridiculous.
The house?
No. The old codes are grandfathered in and things like that. We do see junk like this though with commercial property where there's a change of use, you know, from one business to another, and then it's almost like a reset, and they come in.
Oh,
and go,
boy,
yeah,
howdy do we?
Yes, you understand this. So
it's
kind of
right
like
now.
That, but it seems ridiculous to me, you know, with these mining claims that they could even say such a thing, because what you're talking about is an estate here, which is a bundle of rights, and then they're saying, oh, they don't have surface rights when they had
to obtain
an easement, you know, at some point.
Trial that I had valid placer claim and at my trial, and when they said I had a valid placer claim, they were saying I had the surface rights, and they said that they didn't contest any of my rights on that. They were just claiming the right to regulate, but their own rules say, but the judge, they look at it and they look like they just read right by it like they don't even see it. That says there's a savings clause, but the law they're going by was repealed. They're using the 1955 Resource and Multi-Use Act that was repealed in 1976 and replaced with FLIPMA, the Federal Land Policy Management Act. But they left the savings clause in there saying that, well, if you're stupid enough to follow this repealed law, here's the savings clause for it. And Congress did that thanks to Bob Packwood. He actually gave us a way through government-to-government coordination to coordinate with these agencies. Now, we can't stop federal projects. They could still happen, that they have to conform to the mining law of 1870, 1866, 1870, and has combined and amended and added more minerals to valuable, and because they knew that there would be minerals later on discovered that they didn't know about. Because, see, they were discovering minerals back then that they had to figure out what they were. And so we're always discovering new minerals. And the Siskiyou Mountain Range, because some of them were underneath the ocean and they were pushed up when the Pacific, continental Pacific, shoved up the islands. But then that's one period of time. Then you have the Sierra Mountain Range, when the slide happened there and it created the isthmus where it comes out in Crescent City. And that's the Siskiyou Mountain Range. It's the Nevada, Sierra Nevadas. And they were rich with gold. And some of it's placer, some of it's hard rock, because some of it was shoved up from way down deep. There's stuff on the surface that they say they only find miles deep underground.
You know, so real quick, the Red Buttes out there by the Applegate, that's all mantle material.
Yeah.
So we've only got about a minute left here. So they have a deadline until the 25th to pull out of there. That's my understanding. I mean, are they supposed to completely, vacate the mine or just demolish the structures or what?
They want them to take down all the structures, everything. They want everything gone. Then they want them to apply for an operational permit, and then they can bring it back.
What do you think will happen in the court when they're hashing this out?
Where they're going to go, the court they're going to go to is the land court at the BLM, the only court that can issue a cease and desist order. The BLM can't issue one, so they're going to the land court. And if they don't win there, then they can appeal. Then they can appeal to the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. It goes from there to Washington, D.C. when they file their appeal. Now, the law clerks there won't let you through unless you have an attorney filing it. I don't know if they have an attorney. I know that they got all the paralegals they need. Maybe they need assistance with an attorney signing off on it.
And there we have the bumper music. You've been listening to Double Cross Radio on UCY.TV. Thank you and good night.